This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Staples.
I'm Vicki Barker. Multiple investigations underway after a window blows out on an Alaska Airlines jet minutes after it took off from Portland, Oregon.
Initial reports say, amazingly, no one on the plane was seriously hurt when the window blew out and the plane ultimately landed safely. Fortunately, it appears no one was sitting in the seat directly next to that window. Alaska Airlines called the incident rare, adding, "Our flight crew was trained and prepared to safely manage the situation."
The plane was a Boeing 737 MAX 9. The airlines grounded them all for now. From the air to the campaign trail.
The 2024 battle for the White House took President Biden to Valley Forge, Pennsylvania Friday.
What's Trump done?
Where he went after former President Trump for his role in the January 6th attack on the U.S. Capitol.
He told the crowd to fight like hell. And all hell was unleashed.
Campaigning in Iowa, Trump leads the field for the Republican nomination by double digits.
By delivering a massive victory in Iowa, you'll send a thundering message to crooked Joe Biden.
Trump faces primary ballot challenges in multiple states, arguing he's constitutionally ineligible. Bradley Blackburn, CBS News, New York.
The Supreme Court has agreed to consider whether Colorado had the right to bar Trump from running in its primary. In the meantime, he stays on the ballot. The first winter storm of 2024 expected to sweep the country starting this weekend. And with the winter weather, more dangerously sick people. CBS's Natalie Brand has that.
COVID hospitalizations nationwide are at the highest level since last February. Emergency room visits and deaths are also on the rise from last week alone. And it's not just COVID. Doctors are also seeing more cases of the flu and RSV. 31 states are reporting high or very high levels of various respiratory illnesses.
The powerful head of the National Rifle Association has stepped down days before starting to fight corruption charges in a New York court. CBS's Jeff Pegues reports.
In a statement, LaPierre was as defiant as ever, saying that he's been a card-carrying member of the NRA most of my adult life, adding that his passion for our cause burns as deeply as ever. His resignation comes just days before the start of a civil trial in New York in which State Attorney General Letitia James is accusing LaPierre and other officials of using one of the most powerful organizations in America as a personal piggy bank.
To the Middle East now, and Lebanon's Hezbollah militia has fired dozens of rockets at northern Israel, calling it an initial response to the targeted killing of a top Hamas leader in Lebanon. This is CBS News.
Staples stores provide innovative products and services for small business, remote workers and learners, even teachers and parents. Explore more at your local Staples store.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wuggehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Governor Evers says he doesn't support efforts to keep Donald Trump off the presidential primary ballot in Wisconsin. The Democratic governor tells the Journal Sentinel that doing that would only anger the Republicans' base and justify Trump's claims the deck is stacked against him. 41 public schools in Milwaukee are tearing up playground asphalt and replacing it with trees and native plants. Kids get some relief on hot days.
There's often not very many areas of shade, if any, on these urban schoolyards. There's not a lot of things to naturally do.
Lisa Neeb is with ReFlow, the nonprofit which is helping with the project. She says grades go up and behavior problems go down when kids have recess in more natural settings. I'm Nate Wuggehout, Civic Media News.
It's Bears Week in Green Bay. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Well, the NFL could not have asked for a better scenario. The Packers and Jordan Love with a shot at reaching the playoffs in his first year at quarterback against the Bears. And quarterback Justin Fields with a chance to be the spoiler for their rival. Fields was asked at Hallis Hall what would it mean to the Bears to get a win and finish with a record of 8-9.
It'd mean a lot to the team, the fans, the city. I think it'd be great. You know, we know that Green Bay's playing for a lot at stake. They're playing for a playoff spot right now. So I just think with kind of all that on the table, I think, you know, it'd be great, a great feeling to, you know, end the season off with a win in Lambeau, you know, get ready to play ball.
The 3:25 p.m. start will be shown to 60% of the country and is expected to draw huge ratings. Jordan Love.
That's what you play for, right? You play for these moments, these opportunities to play in the competitive games. You know, you want to be playing these games to have a chance to go to the playoffs, and it's going to be fun.
That's Packers quarterback Jordan Love with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. Chance of rain and snow today. High temperatures around 36. For tonight, slight chance of rain and snow. All snow later on with a low near 30. For Sunday, mostly cloudy, 36 degrees. On Monday, cloudy skies and highs back to the upper 30s.
It's 30 at our studios.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Keeping Southeast Wisconsin informed, engaged, and entertained. This is The Shaw. 540 AM and 101.1 FM. WAUK.
January 6, 2024. If it's 7 o'clock on Saturday morning, it's time for This Week in Waukesha. I'm your host, Downtown Donnie Brown, coming to you live and local from the office of former Alderman Don Paul Brown here in the old NAMI building in the Walk Radio Studios. Probably should have said that first before the old NAMI building, but we're here at 217 Wisconsin Avenue, right around the corner from Theodore Yeoman's Park, where we are proud to honor our suffragette heritage here in the Shaw. And I am joined, as always, by my faithful and quite expert producer, Anastasia, or Anya for short. How are you this morning, Anya?
I'm good, Don. How are you doing?
I'm fantastic. She is also with the chief of staff here in the office of former Alderman Don Paul Brown, Johnny Watermelon. Johnny's going to do some doing some work with Anya and getting to know.
Morning, Don. How are you doing?
Good, Johnny. Love that mustache. Looking good. Went from a goatee to a mustache, and it's just very it gives them a more dignified look, don't you think, Anya?
I think so. I like you have these two allusions to it. I think it's more Sam Elliott than Lennon.
I like,
but
yeah, more, yeah.
As it grows,
no, Stalin,
out.
Not Lennon, yeah.
But you need a little mustache to be a producer, I think. I'm growing,
sure,
mine
do
out, so
yep,
he's got to grow his.
Sounds good. Well, glad to have you here. And then today's guest made a brief appearance on Small Business Saturday to promote Giving Tuesday on behalf of her mission, the food pantry serving Waukesha County. We promised to have her back for a complete show, and we are 2 hours now. And here she is, the newest executive director of the food pantry serving Waukesha County, Lindsay Johnson. Lindsay, good morning. How are you today?
I'm doing just great. Thank you so much for having me on to the show today.
You bet. And fair disclosure, I'm on the board of directors for the food pantry, so it's a great chance for us to do some housekeeping and get some business done. So we're really honored to have you here. And now, tell us about yourself, Lindsay.
Sure. So I was born and raised in Lodi, Wisconsin.
Oh, Lord. Sorry. Stuck in Lodi again.
Kind of like that.
But no, now you're stuck in Waukesha.
Now I'm in Waukesha. So born and raised in Lodi, Wisconsin, and then I went to the University of Wisconsin, Stevens Point, where I got my Bachelor of Science degree in Public Administration and Political Science.
Fantastic.
And after that, I decided I wanted to go into kind of local government management, and so I went to the University of Kansas in Lawrence, Kansas, for
the
their
Jayhawks
master's program.
That's it. You're off the show. No, I'm kidding.
I'm sorry.
Only joking.
They've got an excellent basketball team, I hear.
I still have some bitter memories of 1986 when my Spartans lost to the Jayhawks in overtime. And before the clock stopped for like 10 seconds and the game was going on, and the Michigan State coach was screaming, and they never took the time off, and Kansas tied it at the last second and then won an overtime. So I'm still very, very bitter about that. You know, talk about I have that Irish amnesia. I forget everything but the Grudge, but no. Kansas, great school, great program. Can't say too much bad about the Jayhawks. And obviously, you had a great education there. So
great education and a wonderful time in the Kansas City area. I had an opportunity to work for the city of Liberty, Missouri for about 3 years. And very that was cool. A great community. It's a suburb of the Kansas City area.
Neat.
And then I ended up getting married and moving back to Wisconsin, and I moved to nice. Waukesha. So I worked for Waukesha County for about 17 years in different capacities. I sure. started as a budget analyst and then a business manager for the sheriff's department and then a business services manager for the Department of Administration. All the while, I was volunteering with the food pantry. So I started volunteering during my tenure at the county, and I loved the organization. The passion that the employees have to serve the community, and then also the other volunteers are really dedicated as well. And so I really enjoyed my time there.
Sure.
So when Karen Treadwell, our former executive director, retired, I decided to throw my hat in the ring for that position. So I started there about 4 months ago.
Wow, that's exciting.
Yeah, it's been a great time. I've loved it.
You know, I want to emphasize one point. You started as a volunteer. How long did you volunteer there for?
About 14 years.
Wow. It's the point I'm alluding to, because you're not the first executive or director level professional of a nonprofit that I met that also that cut his or her teeth as a volunteer with that organization. And so another important reason to volunteer is not only the service to the community and your passion for the mission, but if you have professional skill sets that experience as a volunteer can lead to a professional opportunity. And I imagine, I mean, obviously there's a learning curve because you're the executive director. And so you have a higher, what do they say in HR, accountability for error. But the fact that you were there on the ground level and you understood maybe a lot of the nuts and bolts of the organization and the work required gave you some kind of, you know, a certain amount of expertise.
Absolutely. Understanding how we provide the services that we provide and kind of having a true passion for the mission has really provided a lot of direction to me in taking this role on.
Sure. And so I remember from my work on the council, I made a point of doing this kind of homework before I was before I became alderman. Is that 11% of the population of Waukesha, and our population is about 73,000, live below the poverty line, which is comparable to national averages for cities of that size, or large or small. But my experience so far with the pantry, I've noticed that it isn't just lower income families that are recipients or qualified recipients of the food they provide. It's working individuals.
Right. I think in a lot of ways, people have an idea that the only folks that need our services are maybe, maybe unemployed or maybe on disability. And those are certainly a group of folks that are part of the pantry. But I think it's also important to understand that we do have working poor in our community. They've gone to work.
Right.
8 hours, 9 hours, 10 hours,
yeah,
and still need our services. And so it's really nice to have the opportunity to be there for them when they need us.
Sure. And we may be the most or one of the most affluent counties in the state, but it still demonstrates that food insecurity lives even in more affluent counties like ours.
Sure. And, you know, food insecurity is such a huge issue. They'll do studies that will talk about things like lost productivity because of food insecurity. And they'll say something like $5 billion a year nationwide is lost,
wow,
because of food insecurity, productivity loss. Or they'll talk about the amount that it costs in additional education costs because kids aren't getting the nutrition that they need. And so, you know, there's a real cost to us as a community to have people that don't have access to food. And so it's really important for us to acknowledge that this is a need and there's consequence if this need isn't filled.
Yeah, absolutely. That's another great point. And I'm sure there's also other, it obviously impacts health, mental health and physical health.
Right. It's hard to, if you don't have access to proper nutrition, it's hard to be fighting off those colds and viruses and do what you need to do to heal yourself. And unfortunately, you also just don't feel well. You
sure.
just don't feel well.
Right. So tell us, kind of give us a synopsis of how the food pantry operates. How do we get the food from the donors or the different sources to those individuals and families in need?
Sure. So we get food from really four different areas. So the first area that we get food is our food recovery area. So food recovery is really kind of a win-win-win situation for us as a community, because what happens is there's food that ends up in a grocery store that the grocery store isn't able to sell. The food's perfectly fine, but for one reason or not, it didn't sell by their freshness metric, or maybe as it's getting close to the best by date. And so they want to move that food through so they have room for the newer, fresher food. And so what we do is food recovery allows us to glean the perfectly fine food and make it available for our clients. So that's one way that we get food, is from a lot of our grocery stores.
Nice.
Another way that we get, and this is a huge win for us, though, because if we're not taking this food ends up in a landfill, right? So unfortunately, that's there's a cost to us as a community for that.
Sure.
The other way that we get food is we have something called the Emergency Food Assistance Program. So that's called TFAP. And so basically the USDA has some food that gets allocated as kind of emergency food. And we have access to that food that we're able to serve to our clients as well. So this is maybe milk or fresh produce, whatever that looks like. We're able to provide food for free from the USDA. Another way that we get food is we have food drives. Okay. So a lot of our businesses, churches, schools will take the initiative and do food drives. And so they're able to generate food. And that's a great way for us to provide free food to our clients as well. And then lastly, if we're not able to secure food in those three ways, we buy it. So part of our budget goes towards purchasing food, especially fresh food, things like milk and eggs, meat, things that maybe we can get at a lower price, because I'm not buying a carton of eggs, I'm buying pallets of eggs.
Sure.
So it's understanding that there's a scalability to that, and there's some savings that goes along with that.
A lot of logistics, yeah. We're taking your calls this morning on This Week in Waukesha, 844-967-2789. Did I get that right, Anya?
It sounded right to me.
I'm still, as we've adjusted from a one-hour show to a two-hour show, and in the 1 hour, I never got a lot of calls, so we just know now that we're a two-hour show, want to emphasize 844-967-2789. Fantastic, Anya. Wait, so, yeah, any questions you have for Lindsay Johnson and the food pantry? And so I apologize. Continue, Lindsay.
Sure. So those are the main ways that we get our food. And so once we secure our food, we've got folks we rely really heavily on volunteers to help us with running our organization. So one of the things I like to comment on is my workforce is really a workforce of 10. I've got 8 full-time people and 2 part-time people. And so to run our operation, it takes much more than 10 people. And so we've got folks that are able to use the food that's coming in. They're sorting through it. They're gleaning through it. They're making it ready for service to our patrons. And then basically, we provide services to clients that are income eligible, and they have they're able to secure food a couple of different ways. So, the food pantry serving Waukesha County is what we call a full choice pantry. So what that means is families are able to come in 6 days a week from 1 to 3 Monday through Friday. We also have hours Monday evening, and that's from 6 to 8, and then we also have hours on Saturday. I believe it's 9:30 to 11:30. And what they're able to do is they're able to do a full choice shopping experience. So it's almost like we're their grocery store. So of the food that we've got available, they're able to select the items that their family are going to enjoy. So that's our most popular food pantry shopping experience.
Neat.
We also have something called Express, which is useful for folks who might not have as much time for the full shopping experience. So for example,
sounds good. Let's put a pin in this real quick, because we've got some important community messages, but more on the food pantry with Lindsay Johnson, new executive director. Don't go away. Joanna Adamicki from Parks and Rec is my guest next week to talk about Jamboree coming up. Don't go away. So much more to unload here on This Week in Waukesha.
The
Shaw, WAUK.
America is kept safe because the Army National Guard responds, protects, and supports our nation when it needs them most. The Army National Guard responds to disasters such as wildfires and floods. They protect us with missile defense, cybersecurity, and civilian support teams for chemical, biological, and radiological hazards. Be there for your community and your country. Visit NationalGuard.com to learn more about part-time service. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
You should not send that text.
Uh-oh. Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
This is the Shaw, WAUK.
Sky is falling, the streets are full of tears. Rain come down, wash away my fears and all this.
We're gonna let this one play out a little bit.
Oh, I can read between the lines. Rain come down, forgive this dirty town. Rain come down, give this dirty town a drink.
You're listening to Hand in Hand from Dire Straits, from one of the greatest albums of all time, the Making Movies album. And that goes out to one of our regular listeners, Dave, out in West Allis, a big fan of the Shaw and all things happening here. And Dave, that goes out to you and to your sister, Kathy, whose birthday is coming up. And she is finally remembered a couple of years after her passing. Very fondly. So, yeah, thanks for listening and for all you do, Dave. And we're back here with Lindsay Johnson. I almost said Lindsay Wagner, the bionic woman. Lindsay Johnson, the bionic food pantry superstar. We were, before the break, we were talking about how the food pantry operates, and we were talking about there's a regular shopping experience for your clients, our clients, shall we say, and then there's also the express shopping experience. Did I get that right?
That's correct. So, what express shopping is some of our clients would prefer a pantry experience where they might not have as much in-person contact, or maybe they have more limited time to go through the pantry experience. And so what we do is with Express, they might not be picking out every single item that they're getting, but they're able to pick out the main things. So they're able to let us know if they want milk or let us know what type of meat they want. But maybe we're picking out like the canned items or some of the other things. And so that gives folks a little bit more freedom in their time, though. And so some of our folks are like, look, my family's not super picky, and that might work for us a little bit better so that I can get a little more freedom in my day. We also have online and phone-in ordering. So that's Monday through Friday as well. And basically, we've got about 21 slots, and people can do an online order or can call in an order. And that allows them the ability to pick up their items at a more defined time. So, for example, some of our folks who might have transportation issues where they're reliant on a neighbor to help take them to the pantry or maybe borrow a car from a friend, they're able to have a defined window of time that they need to pick up their items. The other thing is we do this, I believe it's from 11 to 12, Monday through Friday. It also allows folks, like, if they can take a lunch break a little early, that's pretty common as well, where I'm going to quick take my lunch break, run over to the food pantry, pick up my items, and then come back to work.
Sure.
So, and then lastly, we do home delivery. We've got folks in our community who have, who are elderly or disabled, who aren't able to come to the pantry.
Sure.
And so twice a month, we have home delivery. It's a limited slots because we do have sometimes problems securing drivers for that particular service.
I know my good friend, Amanda Medina Roddy, and her husband Eric are regular delivery specialists, right? On Saturday mornings, I think?
Yes, they are. So we rely on them pretty heavily to help us in addressing that home delivery need. So we've got teams of four people that go out and deliver 10, go to 10 houses dropping off food, and then their shift is done. So that's a helpful thing as well.
That's fantastic. I love that. Hey, we're taking your calls here on This Week in Waukesha on WAUK for Lindsay Johnson, the new skipper at the food pantry serving Waukesha County. Number again is 844-967-2789. And you can also text us here. Again, 844-967-2789. And so we talked about the different processes that where you get the food from and how it gets distributed. What about how are they qualified, if you will?
Sure. So we ask our clients for some pretty basic information. What we're asking for is the names of the folks in the household, names and basic information about the folks in the household. And then we're also we're asking them what their income is, but we don't do income verification. That sort of is a conversation that people sometimes wonder about, because people will say, well, how do you know that they only make this amount of money?
Sure.
The answer is we treat people with dignity. We assume that when they're telling us this is what we make, this is what they make.
Sure.
The other thing, though, is oftentimes people are finding themselves in the food pantry for things that we can't easily do income verification for.
Sure.
So, for example, people would say, well, wouldn't you look at your last year's taxes or a pay stub or something like that? Sometimes what has happened, though, is the situation has changed since the taxes happened. Somebody got sick, or maybe the job has reduced hours, or maybe whatever.
And if some of these clients are homeless or transient, it's not like they're carrying the big metal file cabinet with their previous year's taxes along with them. So
It's really we ask those kinds of basic questions and then we sign them up for service.
Sure. And I know like one of the big jokes about the Milwaukee area is people will call it, especially in the donor community, they call it small Waukee, because everybody knows each other in this, what is, a pretty big metro area.
For sure.
And I'm sure it's the same in Waukesha. It'd be hard for someone to get away with scamming the food pantry when they're not food insecure.
And the reality is, the clients that we're seeing have done pretty much everything they can to make this work before taking this step. I mean, there's a lot of folks that come in and say, we lost a job. We've been trying to make ends meet. Things aren't just not going very well. And we've done X, Y, and Z to try to tie these finances together, and they're just not working. So we need your help. So oftentimes, there's an opportunity for us to try to build people up and say, look, we're here as long as you need us. We're happy you're here.
Sure.
So that's actually part of the reason why I've really enjoyed working for the food pantry is really this is your opportunity to build people up who might need a little bit of building.
Right. Yep. That is true. So in the 2 minutes we have before our next community messaging segment, how big a role would you say the volunteers play in the mission?
The volunteers are huge. So we have about 30 people a day who are volunteering for our organization. And so I don't think people understand the scope of the volunteer base that we have. But if I were to pay these folks, it would be hundreds of thousands of dollars in addition. Yeah. Additional costs that we just don't have the funds for. So I'm forever grateful that I have a really very loyal and dedicated team of volunteers who come in incredibly regularly. Mm-hmm. So that's really, they're my workforce.
Sure.
So my staff are really kind of providing direction and maybe have the special skills that we need to unload trucks or maybe to organize food recovery. But my volunteers are the ones that are doing all the work. So they're my workforce.
Sure. Sounds good. Well, this is our shorter segment, so we're going to stop for some very important community messages, but we have so much more to talk about with Lindsay Johnson here on This Week in Waukesha and some community news, especially some sports. My favorite team going on a 6-game winning streak, the Carroll women's basketball team, do a little brief report on their success and other happenings here in the community as This Week in Waukesha continues on this first Saturday morning of the new year. Do not go away.
Sky is crying, see the streets full of tears. Rain come down, wash away my fears. And all this writing on the wall, oh, I can read between the lines.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK.
CBS News brief, terror at 16,000 feet after a window blows out of an Alaska Airjet with 177 on board. Evan Smith was a passenger.
There was a kid in that row, and his mother was holding on to him to make sure he didn't go with it.
The FAA's investigating. Hezbollah militants in Lebanon have fired as many as 60 rockets into Israel. This is U.S. Secretary of State Tony Blinken starts his latest visit to the region.
Blinken faced difficult talks today in Turkey, which has sharply criticized Israel's military assault on Gaza. The Turkish president has even compared Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu to Hitler.
CBS's Robert Berger in Jerusalem. Football. Number one seed Michigan takes on number two Washington in Monday's college football national championship in Houston. Washington Huskies head coach Kalen DeBoer.
Had a couple good days of practice back home in Seattle. Got a great send-off by our fan base there on campus. They all showed up and you know, our guys really felt the love there.
CBS News Brief, I'm Vicki Barr.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wegehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Two consultants hired to analyze new legislative maps for Wisconsin will be paid as much as $100,000 each in taxpayer money. Terms of their contracts weren't just made public. The state Supreme Court has ruled the old maps unconstitutional. Wisconsin state troopers are enlisting truckers and other commercial drivers to help fight human trafficking. The state patrol trains them to look out for warning signs potential victims may be sending out.
A lot of times these victims could be, you know, appearing fearful, submissive, timid in some cases. There might also be signs that their movement is, or at the very least has been, controlled.
Trooper Sean Bryan of the State Patrol. January is Human Trafficking Awareness Month in Wisconsin. I'm Nate Wegehout, Civic Media News.
America is kept safe because the Army National Guard responds, protects, and supports our nation when it needs them most. The Army National Guard responds to disasters such as wildfires and floods. They protect us with missile defense, cybersecurity, and civilian support teams for chemical, biological, and radiological hazards. Be there for your community and your country. Visit NationalGuard.com to learn more about part-time service. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. Chance of rain and snow today. High temperatures around 36. For tonight, slight chance of rain and snow. All snow later on with a low near 30. For Sunday, mostly cloudy, 36 degrees. On Monday, cloudy skies and highs back to the upper 30s.
It's 30 at our studios.
Be a part of the resistance. Check out The Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson. Monday nights at 7 on The Shaw. 540 AM and 101.1 FM WAUK and on the Civic Media app.
Hey, son, how are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it.
When your kid can't find the language, find the lyrics. Start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ed Council and Pivotal Ventures.
The Shaw, WAUK.
America is kept safe because the Army National Guard responds, protects, and supports our nation when it needs them most. The Army National Guard responds to disasters such as wildfires and floods. They protect us with missile defense, cybersecurity, and civilian support teams for chemical, biological, and radiological hazards. Be there for your community and your country. Visit NationalGuard.com to learn more about part-time service. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
Women hear a lot about self-care these days. Advice on ways to relax, exercise, eat healthy, and more. Those are all great. But one of the most important self-care steps we can take is making sure we're financially secure later in life. That means saving money for retirement. It's never too late to start. And it's the kind of self-care that brings peace of mind that lasts. For small steps you can take to save for retirement, visit WeSaySaveIt.org. That's WeSaySaveIt.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
Your home of the Earl Ingram Show. Weekday mornings from 8 till 10 on The Shaw. 540 AM and 101.1 FM WAUK.
Living on free food tickets, ordering the milk from a hole in the roof where the rain came through. What can you do? Tears from your little sister, crying because she doesn't have a dress without a patch for the party to go. But you know she'll get by, 'cause she's living in the love of the common people. Smile from the heart of a family man. Daddy's gonna buy you a dream.
Hey, we're back this week in Waukesha, and that is Paul Young with Love of the Common People. Do you remember that song, Lindsay? Although you're younger than me, so probably not, but one of the classics from the 80s. And for those of you watching the live stream, you saw me mimicking Paul Young and his background singers from the MTV video. That was classic. And talk about someone living in the love of the common people and just, you know, all people in need. My good friend, Lindsay Johnson, the new executive director of the food pantry serving Waukesha County. Gosh, that's a long one, but we can just call it the food pantry, right? Or Waukesha food pantry.
That sounds great. So, it is a long one.
Yeah. And it, you know, you've been in for 4 months, so we can't necessarily call you new. Well, I guess we can, you know, it's, you know,
I think I'm still pretty new.
You get that honeymoon, you know, first year and so on. Well, and as you know, I've seen in the committee meetings and there's a lot of work to be done.
There is a lot of work. I mean, I think in a lot of ways, what we're seeing as an organization is that food insecurity in Waukesha County is increasing. And so what that's doing is it's driving the work that we need to do as a community to serve the clients that need our service. I mean, sure. So like when we were looking, so 2023 just closed. So we were looking at kind of statistics, year over year statistics. So like to kind of put things into perspective, in 2021, we had about 18,000 client visits, 18,100 client visits, somewhere around there. This past year, we had about 34,500.
Wow. Okay.
So, I mean, that's about a 91% increase.
Sure.
In the number of client visits. And so we routinely have 115 people that are coming through the food pantry every day for help.
So, and I want an opportunity not to necessarily take that first question back, but to elaborate on it. You're succeeding Karen Treadwell for 26 years,
mm-hmm.
very passionate, and very effective
Absolutely.
Leader and very well respected and loved. And so what I meant about work to be done, it wasn't anything that Karen missed, but just that the need for the pantry services continues to grow.
Absolutely. She really has set up this organization well to address that need going into the future. And so I'm forever grateful for that help. Because it allowed me to take over an organization that was very well run. But we still have a lot of folks in our community that are needing food pantry services. And so I'm excited about the challenge. I think that as a community, we can do a lot of things to make serving our community members better. So I'm looking forward to that.
Sure. And in the last segment, we were talking about the importance of the work that your volunteers do. How many total volunteers do you have, if you could guesstimate?
So we had this number through October, but I didn't have a chance to pull it for the end of the year. So up until from January to October, we had about 350 volunteers that had done about 41,000 volunteer hours. So that's a lot of volunteer time.
Can you repeat the volunteer hours again?
About 41,000.
Wow.
Right. So that's a lot of time.
It really is.
Yeah.
One of my nonprofit clients, I helped with a volunteer appreciation lunch that was held for them. And one of my contacts that's involved in finance had mentioned that the bill for that lunch was
like around $13,000, which you think, wow, that sounds really extravagant for a nonprofit. But their hours was similar to yours, about 40,000 and change. And even if you took the minimum hourly wage and you multiplied that, it's just like that's just that free lunch.
Yeah.
That thank you lunch was just a drop in the bucket.
I'd be paying folks over $300,000 just through the hours through October. I mean, yeah, and wow. But here's the thing. That's at minimum wage.
Yes.
I mean.
And these are, a lot of these are skilled.
These are folks that are doing pretty, they're doing work that is important work. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if I could get it done at minimum wage.
Sure.
You know, these folks are doing it because they've got the heart. And they want to help their community. So they're in it for the mission, not in it for the money. So that's what helps me do the work that we want to do.
Wow. So how would you compare this work you're doing now compared with the work you're doing with the county?
Sure. So one of the things I've always liked about public service is the opportunity to serve my community. I mean, that's what public service is. And so the nice part of working for the county is I did have an opportunity to serve my community. What the difference is when I was working for the county, I was knowing that I was helping serve my community, but not actually seeing the people I was serving. You know, I was a little bit more removed because I wasn't an actual service provider. When you're working in the pantry, you're seeing the clients that are coming through the doors. You're seeing the volunteers that are assisting them. You're seeing the people that you're helping. And so that's the big difference, is it's a more tangible experience, I think, to help our community. So it's also incredibly heartwarming to have the experiences that you have at the pantry. I'll give an example. We routinely get Boy Scouts and Girl Scouts troops who come through the pantry so that they can get a tour of what we do. And so my clients or my staff did a Girl Scout tour.
Sure.
And one of the girls during the tour had decided that for her birthday, she wanted to do a food drive. So she's about an 8-year-old girl who decided that instead of getting birthday presents, she was going to ask all of her little friends to donate non-perishable food items so that she could donate them to the food pantry. I mean, that's an incredible story. And
that really is.
The mom came with her boxes of food and was so proud of her daughter. And, you know, we couldn't thank her daughter enough for being so generous in spirit to give back to her community. I mean, those are the types of things that is a little bit of a difference.
Sounds great. Hey, we're taking your calls here and texts. I just received a text and I'm not able to answer it readily. So you're better off texting 844-967-2789. Appreciate the text from friends. And so, please just text the 800 number. That way Anya can respond to it and help us out there. Someone texted in that they're hearing you or maybe seeing you, which is fine. You don't have to see me. But if there is an issue hearing me, Anya's like, no, sounds good to me. And we can hear Lindsay okay, but we just want to make sure we got all that down. But also grateful for this input from the community. This is your show. And we want to make it about you and not me, although I'm pretty cool. No, I'm just kidding. But, hey, also, our guests on January 27th, and mark this, is Candace Strong. And this, I want to thank Luke Mathers, our head of operations or executive producer at Civic Media, for turning us on to this. Candace, she oversees an organization called, and I want to read this correctly here, it's... And Lindsay, none of you have heard of this. It's called Trisha's Troops Cancer Connection. It's a nonprofit organization that provides care to cancer patients during and after their diagnosis. It opened a new headquarters in Waukesha last year and is celebrating its one-year anniversary. Candace is, she did this in honor of her sister, Trisha Wright, who was diagnosed with an aggressive form of cancer and passed away in 2012. And so they created Trisha's Troops in her honor to help other cancer patients through wellness, exercise classes, mental health support, nutrition, and more. So we're really excited about having Candace on the 27th. So tune in for that. And it's got to be pleasing for you, Lindsay, that there's other great nonprofits out there serving specific needs for specific people in the community, especially cancer patients.
Actually, there's lots of partnerships that I didn't even realize we have relationships with other nonprofits. And so it's that's been a nice part of the pantry service as well, is understanding that we're here to help other people succeed in their mission as well. So when there's opportunities for us to be helpful, sure, we like to be helpful.
Yeah. And you take, if someone gets diagnosed with cancer or any type of debilitating or life-threatening illness, that safety net isn't necessarily there, and food insecurity then becomes a factor. And so it is great that we build this strong network of community support
right
here in Waukesha. And so that reminds me too, is I want to give a big shout out to Metal Tech, who made a $25,000 donation for the parade memorial. I know the goal is to hit $400,000, and they put a big dent in that. They had a big presentation at one of the recent city council meetings, Mayor Riley and the big and large. So that means so much to have that kind of support from our community, especially our business community. Mm-hmm. So that was big news. Hey, other news too is I want to give a big shout out to my good friend Rebecca Beretta, who works in Senator Tammy Baldwin's office. She paid a special visit on behalf of the senator to La Casa de Esperanza, and she was there to learn about the La Casa's weatherization department. I believe that visit was on Thursday or Wednesday, but her visit also included an opportunity to learn more about the other amazing programs at La Casa. And Rebecca was also able to see the charter school in action and witness the passion that the teachers have for the students there and for their classrooms. So we want a big thank you to my friend Rebecca, and of course to Senator Tammy Baldwin for the close attention they're paying for our community. Rebecca's very passionate, like yourself, Lindsay, and does a great job representing the senator and representing our interests and needs to the senator at the national level. So that is greatly appreciated. And going back to Candace Strong too, is if you do have a story to tell about Waukesha, you know, please, there's if you go to civicmedia.us or to walkradio.com, there's opportunities to send an email in. And like I said, Luke Mathers, all the way at the top of the organization, sees and says, hey, you guys should take a look at this. So very grateful for that. And do we have a caller on you? No. Okay. Working on some other things here. So anyway, so where were we? I know I keep throwing in some community business. So I just, yeah, I wanted to.
Sure.
Partnerships.
Sure. So one of the things that we do have, as I mentioned, we do have partnerships with other nonprofit organizations in the Waukesha community. So, and I'm pretty fortunate in that I work with an outstanding staff who are incredibly resourceful in finding maybe places for things that we might not have a use for, or it might not serve our mission. I'll give a couple of examples. We've oftentimes get donations of candy, especially after holidays, and stores need to clean up the shelf space to bring a new product.
Right.
Our folks, that doesn't necessarily serve our mission. So we don't serve that with clients, but my folks were able to reach out to the parade group, the Waukesha Christmas Parade, and see if they needed stuff. And so,
very smart.
It's a nice opportunity for us to do quick little partnerships so that we're able mm-hmm. to just kind of unload what we might not have use for, and they can certainly use it. I mean, what parade have you gone to where there wasn't a shower of candy? That's for sure. The other thing, though, is we do have partnerships with, like, the Hunger Task Force. They end up providing our stock box, and that's a program that we have at the food pantry that provides income-eligible seniors with additional food, additional nutrition. And so that's a partnership that we have. We also work with Feeding America as part of the food recovery program, and then also accessing some of their food as well. And then we've got an interesting collaboration that we've been doing with the Community Action Coalition, or CAC. Since this past, I think it was probably probably maybe more like June or July timeframe, we've been the CAC TFAP hub. So what that means is there's the part of the emergency assistance food, the part of the emergency food assistance program is that they deliver food to nonprofits that qualify for that food. And CAC is the entity that does that for Waukesha County. What used to happen is the food used to get delivered to CAC, which is located in Madison. Okay. They would unload it from the truck. They'd repalletize it to the sizes of the nonprofits that they need to deliver it to, and then they would ship it over to Waukesha. It doesn't sound like a big deal, but actually it would take time to do that, and there were costs associated with the delivery. And so
that's huge.
They worked with us so that we could become their TFAP hub. So what happens now is all of the trucks come to the Waukesha Food Pantry for all of the nonprofits that qualify for TFAP food in Waukesha County. So we unload trucks. We work with CAC staff in getting those repalletized for those individual nonprofits.
Hey, we'll be right back on This Week in Waukesha. More from Lindsay Johnson from the Food Pantry. Don't go away.
Just take them in stride for family pride. You know that faith is your foundation. With a whole lot of love and a warm conversation. But don't forget to pray.
This is the Shaw, WAUK.
I got serious about staying fit just a couple of years ago. Now 5Ks, yoga, and smart nutrition are all part of my weekly routine. Part of my eating right plan? Country Hearth Breads. Natural breads with the whole grains and natural ingredients my body needs to perform at its best. Just a slice of toasted multigrain with peanut butter before a workout, and I'm ready to roll. Country Hearth is the easy choice because it's good for me and great tasting, too. Country Hearth Breads, baking our best for you.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Need a little help? O'Reilly Auto Parts can help. Need advice? We've got advice. No matter what you need, we have thousands of professional parts people doing their part to make sure you have it. Exceptional customer service. Just one part that makes O'Reilly stand apart. The professional parts people.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK.
Seven lonely days and a dozen towns ago, I reached out one night and you were gone. Don't know why you'd run, what you're running to or from. All I know is I want to bring you home. So I'm walking.
Hey, we're back, and that's Kentucky Rain by Elvis Presley, whose birthday is tomorrow. He would have been 89. But for those of you who still believe he's alive and have been driving a truck for years out of Kalamazoo, Michigan, if you are there, happy birthday to the king. And we're back here with Lindsay Johnson of the Food Pantry, serving Waukesha County. And we wanted to finish on that final point about the tea.
So we're the TFAP hub for Waukesha County. And the nice part of being a TFAP hub for Waukesha County is that it allows food to get to our partner agencies faster, right? So food's not going to Madison, having to sit there for a little bit of time while they reload it, reship it, that type of thing. It's a benefit to all of our organizations because they get a little more useful life out of the food.
Sure.
It's also a benefit to CAC because they're not having to pay for the shipment part. And so it's really looking for those opportunities to collaborate to really benefit the overall Waukesha County community.
Sounds great. Hey, then you also mentioned a good point was like during the holidays, you got a lot of candy from the stores. And it brings me to this. There's always been this discussion about food deserts and more in urban areas where healthy food's not accessible to people, that sometimes it's two different sources of transportation. And I don't necessarily believe that that's the case in Waukesha, though, again, it's a very big city geographically, so it could be. But what I've also in my own work learned is that instead of food deserts, a lot of these areas have what are called food swaps, where you know, you go to the local gas station or the there's the fast food store in every corner, but the gas station's going to have the high sugar or high salt items, and that's not necessarily the healthy food item, but those are like the most immediate shopping choices for lower income families or working families even. And so there's a lot of work that has to be done from your end, I believe, you know, from your staff and volunteers in terms of identifying healthy food options that are available to these families?
Sure. A lot of times what folks will wonder or ask, what should I be donating? What are the things that you need? And one of the things that we put on our website and the things that we are looking for are healthy, nutritious options. So we're looking for the cereals, but it's the cereal that doesn't have, you know, tons and tons of sugar. Yeah. We're looking for things that are going to be healthy options for our clients, because some of our clients have diabetes. Some of our clients have, you know, health related problems that food could either help solve or they can make worse.
Yeah.
So we're looking for options for them.
I'm glad you mentioned diabetes, because long before the COVID outbreak, there was another pandemic going on, and that was diabetes. And especially with the American diet, or the Western diet, as some people call it, you had, and this was when I was doing this work, it was probably going on 5 or 6 years ago, but 88 million Americans have what's called prediabetes, which is dangerously close to the real thing. And I imagine that number has probably spiked a few million. And that obviously, you know, one of my clients used to call diabetes the poor person's illness because of the lack of healthy food options. And so it's good to hear that the food pantry pays attention to that and makes those the healthier items available to our families and to our children of all ages from birth to 99.
Absolutely. One of the things we do have is, you mentioned birth, we've got an infant program. So we've got baby items, things like formula and food and diapers and wipes and things that you would need for an infant. And we make those routinely available to our families that have an infant and have that as a need. Because if you think about it, I mean, those are expensive items. And
sure,
much like food, it's a consumable. You need to replace it.
Love it. That sounds great. And I think that's also a good kind of an eye opener for, because the typical family, when they, and we've got a lot of generous people in this community, as we do.
Absolutely.
In other communities, but that knee-jerk reaction to helping the food pantry is going in to your own food pantry and looking for those canned goods. And some of those things are great, but like that baked beans could have a lot of added sugar in it, or there are different items that, and it is a good thing the FDA has now required a lot of these consumer packaged goods organizations to put a separate line item on added sugar. So those are the things you should be looking for on your cereals and all the other items you want to donate, to look for that added sugars, because we want that to be zero if we can, or close enough to it. Because you made a good point that cereal now, since the 1940s, is low-fat dessert in terms of your choices. And you need to eat more Cheerios out there. That's my shameless plug.
There you go.
So... but yeah, so is there literature or on your website and maybe in your collateral that kind of educates donors on identifying the specific needs?
So we have it on our website and we routinely update it. What folks will say is it looks very similar to what it looked like 2 months ago, but
right.
A lot of the items that we hand out are really kind of core items to our organization. So
sure.
We're always looking for canned fruits and vegetables. We're always looking for a high grain, like multi-grain cereals. We're always looking for rice and pasta and things like that. And so if we're always, because those are items that are always available, and so
right.
We always need to replenish those.
Sure, sure. And, you know, in the minute and a half we have before the end of this first hour, we talk, bread, you know, carbs, but bread is okay, right? Especially if it's multigrain or whole wheat.
Right. And we do get a fair amount of bread donations from a lot of grocery stores. And so we are able to get that handed out to a lot of folks as well. So
sure.
So we get nutritious options that we're able to hand out to our clients.
Do you get a lot of olive oil?
No.
Okay. Because I think that would be a great choice to have for families instead of butter. It's a healthier choice.
Sure.
For sure.
And we don't buy butter. Sometimes we do
by
get
design.
Butter. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sometimes we get butter that is available, but that's not something that we make as part of our core offering.
Sounds great. Terrific. So when we come back from this next segment, again, I promise some reporting on our local sports, as well as some more local news and a quick reflection on this, the third anniversary of the January 6th attacks, especially an act made by one of our top city leaders that drew worldwide attention during that date 3 years ago. And of course, so much more to talk about with Lindsay Johnson of the Food Pantry and how individuals can support the Food Pantry in different ways. So more specifics on that when we come back for the second hour on This Week in Waukesha. Do not go away. And hey, if you notice that thin white sheet of powder on the ground, don't panic. It's snow. I know we haven't seen it in a while. We probably forgot, ironically, here in the Great North. But we're supposed to get more of it later, so stick around. More on that.
With a prayer that I'd find you.
Waukesha, home of Les Paul, our awesome farmers market, and The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
America is kept safe because the Army National Guard responds, protects, and supports our nation when it needs them most. The Army National Guard responds to disasters such as wildfires and floods. They protect us with missile defense, cybersecurity, and civilian support teams for chemical, biological, and radiological hazards. Be there for your community and your country. Visit NationalGuard.com to learn more about part-time service. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
You're listening to The Shaw.
WAUK 540 AM Jackson. W266 DR Waukesha.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.